This episode of Manage Smarter is presented by TeamKeeper, SalesFuel's data-driven program for improving team culture, communication, and retention. Learn more about TeamKeeper at TeamKeeper.com. Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts C. Lee Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Manage Smarter podcast. Tell a friend, share this, let the word get around. We're so glad that you're here to join us. I'm Audrey Strong, the Director of Communications for SalesFuel.
And I'm C. Lee Smith. I'm the President and CEO of SalesFuel.
Guess what we have with us today? And who? An amazing woman. She's a futurist.
I love futurists. All about the future. I hate looking backwards. I love looking forward.
Def Westfall, thank you for coming to the table, CEO and futurist of Toffler Associates. How are you today?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know about Deb, she is amazing. What a background. She works with Toffler Associates. She is the CEO, and they focus on really four critical issues and opportunities: strategic advisory, innovation and agility for companies and organizations, organizational transformation. I think we could all use that at one point or another, and risk management as well to create value and improve processes in an increasingly complex global landscape. So we're going to talk about people and processes and all kinds of stuff. So Deb, thank you again.
Wonderful.
So Lee, you go ahead first out of the gate.
Well, you talk a lot about the human-centric organization. So I'd like to learn a little bit more about what exactly that is and how it differs from your typical organization out there.
Sure. So the easiest way to really tell the difference between a human-centric organization and traditional organization is, whether or not leaders are allowing process and structure to lead their decision-making, or are they really leading from a place where they're putting humans first? And that said, the difference is subtle, but it's significant. The human-centric model says, let's figure out what it's going to take for our people to be more successful, and then let's adjust the process and structure from there, rather than adjusting process and structure first and then following up with people.
So it's sort of like, okay, here's our process for storming the castle and raiding all of the king's jewels. Basically, we're going back, decades, centuries ago, because this stuff's been around forever, as opposed to, here's how you can do a better job with the catapult so that we can be more effective in storming the gate. Is that a fair analogy or?
Sure. It's really in today's world where technology is just ubiquitous in more and more being adapted in organizations, humans and their value is, needs to be brought to the forefront. And so these structures and processes that we've built inside organizations for the last, 3-4 decades to optimize around business outcome is really getting in the way of human creativity and the values of human in organizations.
Yeah, we've had other guests on that talk about artificial intelligence that's coming down the line and how even right now a lot of softwares can really do the tasks that people do. So you have to decide, do I want to put my money into artificial intelligence and software or into my people? You actually talk a little bit about some key societal shifts that are driving a more human-centric organization. What are the things happening now?
So from our work, we've identified basically five shifts that are fundamentally shifting the way people work, how they live, and how they engage with each other. The first is what we call the power of balance, and that's really from traditional entities to non-traditional entities. Whether that be a private company taking on functions that have traditionally been performed by governments, or collective groups of like-minded individuals taking on power long held by established organizations. Think about, the recent headlines of the 3,000 employees at Google signing a letter saying, we don't want to do work and we don't think Google should be doing work for the Defense Department. This balance of power that is taking place and actually accelerating. A second driver is what we call social alterations. And this is really how individuals' value systems are really being replaced by faster generational turnover. And changing attitudes and priorities, you know, driven by technology, but really driven by the collaboration of people, which technology allows for. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting research on, you know, generational and generational turnover. Used to be 20 years. Now people are saying it's about 10 years, moving to 7 years, because generations, you know, as time moves faster and faster, there's these different commonalities amongst people. So that is driving how we want to work or how we want to live or how we want to engage with each other. A third is what we call complex collaboration. And this is the idea that, you know, we need to work together with different social models and different structures and different norms to really kind of continue the shift in maturation that technology is going to affect inside the organization. We will have to collaborate with machines. We will have to collaborate with AI and in human machine learning. So these different structures and norms are really shaping how we will work in the future.
How far away is that? I mean, that's now.
Yeah, it is now. The evolution will advance in such a way that it will be, you know, we will start to think of these machines and as really teammates versus technology applications. So we're here. It is now, but we're using it more as an application, not necessarily as a peer. You know, it will be. It'd be interesting when, you know, the first CEO is a robot or a human machine. You know, that is cranking data for, you know, optimization of the business. So, you know, that's the next level that, you know, we will see in the future. Another shift is really what we're calling value creation. And it's how individuals and organizations will generate, capture, and earn and perceive value. It won't always be economic. It will be around time. It'll be around value. It'll be around health. It'll be around societal, you know, good. And so that shift is changing organizations and work. And then we talked about the technology acceleration, and that will continue, and that is a big driver.
This kind of reminds me of a conversation we had a while back with Tom Peters, and we were talking about as far as managers being able to manage smarter, knowing that machine learning and AI and things like that are becoming increasingly the norm across the landscape, that what differentiates the managers from the machine is the fact that we're human and that we have emotions and that sort of thing, but yet so many managers aren't aware of the human side or of their emotion. They're just drivers of task. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, and for sure. I mean, you can go to business school and they don't teach empathy. They don't mm-hmm. teach, right? They don't necessarily teach self-awareness and conflict resolution amongst human beings. So those softer skills or attributes will become more and more important for managing smarter as we go forward.
So what, why is it important to sort of transform to this? So everything's coming at lightning speed. I'm going to show more empathy. I'm going to put my people first if I make a shift as a leader. And then how does that come back to me, ROI, as I'm moving through time?
Well, there is an urgency to do this now, because it will take time. It will take time. You know, we're at the very beginnings of the early adoption of these type of technologies. You can read, there was an interesting report that I read out of IBM that talked about, you know, some of the industry evolution and adoption of the technology. And we're just at the point where early adopters are implementing. Most industries are just dabbling. So, you know, over the next 10 years, we'll see more and more of the technology being implemented, which will make it more and more important to become this human-centric organization. So, you know, what do we need to do? And you know, we need to start looking at the processes and structures that we have in place that optimize the organization versus humans. There is a lot of obsolete knowledge kind of in organizations of how we do things. Take, for instance, how we do strategic planning. You know, how we do strategic planning today is a bottoms up. It's very human driven. Humans go out and get data and forecast and optimize. Well, in the future, machines will do that. So the question is, what part of strategic planning will be human? And humans play a very important role in decision making. But right now, most corporate strategic planning, the decision making is at the top versus spread throughout the organization.
So let's say I want to hire this type of manager then who can be good at both, being able to merge then the human emotional side of being a human-centric organization then with being able then to work with AI and machines and that sort of thing. What would you look for then in hiring that particular type of manager?
Well, in that case, I think it's important to really look at their values and versus the skills or the you know, the education that they have. And so, you know, what do they value? What experiences do they have, you know, that they've brought to, that they're bringing to the table? We expound to the idea that a very value-driven organization is, you know, is needed for, you know, moving forward into this kind of this new frontier. So, in short, it's values and attributes. It's the soft skills.
So if you hire managers then who are really good at those types of things, does it make it a little bit easier then when it's time then to transform organizations and move them forward to get to prepare for the future or new competition or new product lines or something like that to really then affect change in an organization?
If you're asking, is it easier if you have a values-based culture with individuals that you know, feel strongly about that, that are, you know, moving forward with purpose and a common purpose? It is, because it's easier to engage all employees than throughout the organization to make that transformation.
Do you have any advice for people listening in the audience right now who are saying to themselves, not to their boss, God, I'm kind of like a zero adopter. I'm kind of a late adopter. And then I'll grudgingly, you know, Lee wants me to learn, you know, Megaphone. I don't feel that way. Lee and I are both lifelong learners, but how do you coach up people so they can move to the future with the organization, people that you really want to invest in? Do you advise that you send them off for some technology training, or what are you telling your clients to do?
You know, it kind of starts with it starts with them, and there's some simple things that leaders can start to do. You know, I would add with some encouragement here. They can do this. It's not overwhelming. It's, you know, you start with small steps and know that you're probably going to make a few mistakes along the way, but that's okay. So there's a few things that in our work that we see that are future focused leaders have in common. The first is being bias busters. And what I mean by that,
love that. Yeah.
Is really being aware of your own biases and get comfortable with challenging yourself and why you believe in something. Biases and belief systems without knowing why you believe in those will get in your way. And so really take that time to test, you know, that that fact or that belief that you have as to why do you believe that? And so that's kind of the first one. The second is to tune into humanity. You know, you can seek out different perspectives, different belief systems. Your organization has immense diversity in it. Why do people believe what they believe? And have those conversations and seek to learn and really tap into that. And then the third is really, you know, trying to champion the change by driving towards that discomfort. And, you know, we've all heard that saying, change begins at the edge of your comfort zone. We all have different comfort zones. Just kind of lean into that and really promote new ideas and new ways of thinking. Allow those to bubble up in your organization. As a leader or manager, you still have the ability to say no or not go forward, but allowing those ideas to come up and discussing those are important.
You've really got to let go of the whole idea that somehow you look vulnerable or you look weak if you don't know all the answers, right?
Absolutely. And I'm a big fan of Brené Brown's book, her work around shame and vulnerability. And it is really something that leaders need to need to embrace. Vulnerability is strength, and it will be even more important in the human-centric organization of the future.
Go ahead, Lee.
We talked a little bit about how being human-centric, though, can really set the table for greater innovation and transformation and change management. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the ways in which that affects innovation, and maybe is there a model there or something like that you can point to?
Yeah. So the greatest is tapping into humanity, right? The hopes, dreams, desires, fears, creativity, emotions, and passions of people. When you allow that to come forth, innovation will. Innovation will come forward. So, there's different models that organizations have gone through. One of them that we like to use with organizations is just to ask the what if. Ask the what if, ask the hypothesis, get people engaged with those ideas and the ideation of the possibility, and really move forward with some testing and with some ideas and with some collaboration to answer the question of what if.
So that test and the practical application of some of the ideas that came up through the ideation session. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. Yes.
Because some employees are intimidated by the C-suite, or they don't understand, they don't feel they're in an environment, the leadership hasn't shown them they're in an environment where I can send an idea up, have something, an innovation bubble up from my level. And so when you create a safe environment and you create an environment where you're asking questions, like you said, then you may get some amazing ideas that come to you, correct?
Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about is on human-centric organizations. We were working with a senior executive in a very large aerospace firm, and she mentioned that her people were no longer innovative, and they lost their innovation. And we need to go find innovative people, So she thought it was an HR problem. And I challenged her, her thought there. And I said, you've got innovative people. The process and the structure that you have is really stifling the innovation of the people. And she kind of sat back and thought for a second. And she said, she started laughing and she goes, oh, you've seen our 56-step
Oh my God.
Right?
Wow.
And you think about it, and I'm sure your listeners have these processes in place where you have these gate reviews and you have these series of forms you have to fill out and you have people that you have to, you know, get on board.
That's the opposite of human-centric right there. That's process-driven.
that's process-driven. That's an example of the process-driven. And so as a leader in trying to manage smarter, be in tune with those things that are you know, getting in the way of that. That doesn't mean that there isn't structure. There, of course, there's going to be structure in an organization. It's just different structure.
One of the things that we as managers have to do a better job of when it comes to people pushing ideas up is we have to acknowledge the idea. We have to actually listen to the idea with our full attention, not be off on our cell phones or on our computers doing something else at the same time. And then we actually have to reward them and make them feel good for the fact that they actually brought the idea to our attention. I don't care if it's by email, by text, or in person or something like that, so that even if that idea stinks, but at least they'll feel good about the process. At least they tried and everything like that, and they felt good about it, and they weren't belittled or ashamed, or they won't never do that again. It's like, that's sort of like my little rant on this whole process, is that I think it starts right there, that we as managers have to do a better job in that area first.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of attention's being put on the Gen Z, the Gen X. There's all sorts of urban legend out there about millennials and how they behave, but they are. They're the ones that are going to help us with really creating a human-centric organization. They were born into this technology. They don't know any different. You know, they see the organization in a way that maybe we don't see. So we need to listen to them, and we need to learn from them. We need to seek their perspectives, because they are questioning, why are we doing this way? It doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this? And it's not challenging authority. It's really, you know, it's really about, why are we doing it this way? In today's world, why do we have these processes and these structures that are getting in the way of us being faster and more efficient?
They've always had a seat at the table, though, when it comes to expressing themselves. It's like, okay, Mom, why do we always have meatloaf on Monday? and why is curfew at 10:30? And
because they're on social media. That's the answer. Well,
No, it's not the answer. But in their mind, they're on social media and they're able to express themselves. Yeah. And that they've always had a seat at the table and never been shy, really, about expressing their opinion. And so now that's carrying over into the workforce.
Last question, Deb, would that be being a better listener being the number one mistake you're seeing consistently for leaders wanting to move into the future and be strategic about it, listening better?
Yeah, listening, listening better and really leading, the mistake that they're making is leading with process versus with people. And if you're leading with people, you're listening, you're seeking to understand, you're allowing those different perspectives to come forward. So I think that is the number one issue. Listen and check your bias.
And I think you're spot on with that, because Sales Fuel is based in Columbus, Ohio, and home of The Ohio State University, where they had a football coach there named Woody Hayes, who always used to say, "You win with people." So even back then, wherever that, you know, that was the belief or whatever, and I definitely feel like it carries over. I think that carries over into the human-centric organization that you're talking about.
I think you're right.
So it's ToefflerAssociates.com. They've got a couple Twitter feeds, right, Deb? So Westfall Deb is your Twitter handle. But I also love this. There's Toefler Insights.
Yes.
Twitter
yes.
as well. Everybody needs to follow that. And do you prefer the people contact you on Twitter, or how would people who want to reach out to you?
You can reach out on Twitter, or you can go to our website, and there's a couple ways to connect us through our website. And
I love the website. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
That's great. So subscribe, rate, and review. Tell a friend. Deb, you tell your stakeholders. We appreciate you coming on the show. ManageSmarter.com will have your episode and all the back episodes. ManageSmartPod is the Twitter for the podcast. SalesFuel is for SalesFuel. And I don't know if you're familiar, Deb, but we're a part of the C-Suite Radio Network as well. And that's C-SuiteRadio.com, and this will be there as well. So send people there too.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thanks, Deb. This was great.
Thanks,
we appreciate it.
Yeah,
a great conversation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.